This is The Guardian.
Hi, Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land. Earlier this year, Guardian Australia released a 7-part investigative series into the life and ambition of Australia's richest person, Gina Rinehart. It's deeply researched and reported and was nominated for a Walkley Award and named one of Apple's best podcasts of 2025. And since its release, Gina herself continues to be in the news. Like when her company claimed helicopter pads are a necessity of modern business. Or when she was spotted at Donald Trump's Halloween party. So if you missed it the first time, here it is again. Gina.
Just a warning before we begin. This episode contains references to outdated offensive language and reference to events Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples may find distressing. It also contains the names of Indigenous Australians who have died. Listen with care. From Guardian Australia, I'm Sarah Martin and this is Gina, a podcast about Australia's richest person. Since our last episode, something has happened that we need to tell you about. And so this is an update. The DNA request. Last episode, we covered historical claims made over the years that Lang Hancock, Gina's father, had two unacknowledged daughters with separate Indigenous women. Women who, if these claims were true, would be Gina Rinehart's half-sisters. You heard about Hilda Kickett, conceived at Mulga Downs in the Pilbara and born in 1943. You heard from her son, Kelvin Kickett.
It wasn't about the money, it was just recognition, and that's what my mother wanted.
And her nephew, Devon Kumara.
But all that family deserves a share of that wealth. That's their lawful right. Because he's their father, he's their grandfather, he's their uncle, whatever the case may be.
You also heard about Stella Robinson, also conceived at Mulga Downs and born in 1932 when Lang was just 23 years old, and how she claimed to be the firstborn Hancock child. Stella Robinson had 10 children. And throughout the making of this series, I've been in conversation with one of her daughters. Her name is Nadine. She is a Bunjuma woman. She's 71 years old and she lives in Perth. And since the publication of episode 5, The Portrait, Nadine has decided that for the first time she has something to say publicly. In this episode, you'll hear from Nadine. However, because she finds talking about these events quite upsetting, she has chosen to read from a statement she prepared for us.
I am the eldest daughter of Sella Tucker Robinson and the granddaughter of Gadatha Gertie Tucker. If you, the readers and the listeners, are wondering why it has taken so long for me to come forward, there are numerous reasons why. And now, for some reason, I feel now is a good time. As descendants of Gadatha Tucker, our maternal grandmother and her daughter, Sella Tucker Robinson, us, the descendants, knowing for some time now that she was removed from her homelands and her families by force.
Last episode, you heard about how Stella was a member of the Stolen Generation, abducted from Mulga Downs in October of 1940 when she was just a child, in accordance with the government's systemic racist policies of the time. She was taken along with another Indigenous girl, Minette, who was allegedly also a Hancock, born to Lang's father, George. Stella was caught after hiding under a tarpaulin on the back of a truck, driven by some station workers. Minette was found near the homestead at Mulga Downs and was chased through the bush before she too was seized. Government inspectors took them both to the Moore River Native Settlement, more than 1,000 kilometres away. Moore River Native Settlement was one of the largest Aboriginal missions in Western Australia, with incarcerated children from all around the state, held in overcrowded, dilapidated and abusive conditions, contributing to the deaths of hundreds of children. At the time of their removal, Stella's mother, Gertie, was reportedly at Roebourne Hospital.
It has been documented, quoted and dated how furious Lang Hancock was in his handwritten letter to the government authorities, demanding to have the two girls, Stella and Minette, both returned to Mulgadown Station as soon as he found out they both had been kidnapped, when both he and the mother, Gertie, were absent from the station.
You also heard about a letter that Lang Hancock wrote to a government minister in response to that abduction, in which he suggested returning Stella and Minette and swapping other Aboriginal children for them. He writes, "In the absence of the manager of this station, the local police officer and inspector ran down and captured two half-caste children who were decently clothed and fed and cruelly took them from their mothers to be a burden on the state, despite the fact that they and their parents were fed, clothed and insured by us. We would suggest that the two children be returned to us and two of the starving mites substituted." Hancock's plea failed.
"My sisters, brothers and our family members often wonder what the outcome would have been if Stella had not been kidnapped and had grown up and lived on Mulgadown Station. Maybe, just maybe, her and her auntie Minette Doris would have had shares and rights in inheriting the property and any other shares, stakes left to George Hancock and his son Langley, or even a mention in his last will and testimony. If not for a cruel abduction on that sad, mournful day from Mulgadown Station. If they were visible, surely a different outcome was sure to have been realised. If only. It would be lovely to talk with Mrs. Rose Porteous and hear what she has to say about Lang and his illegitimate Aboriginal children."
A DNA test to verify the claims has never been undertaken, but now Nadine is publicly making that request of Gina Reinhart.
"Mrs. Reinhart, I would like to meet with her and ask if she will agree to take a DNA test to resolve any doubts about Stella's children's biological paternal grandfather. If she decides not to have a DNA test, I would respect her decision. However, for me to get peace of mind and to carry out my late mother's wishes, I invite any one of the Hancock-Reinhart children to come forward with compassion for one human being to another and give their DNA for comparison to determine if we are connected by blood. And if there is no connection, we will accept the white man's way of determining families' blood connections."
Guardian Australia put this request to Gina Reinhart, but she did not respond to it. We also reached out to John Hancock, who we have spoken to for this series. John, being Gina's firstborn son, is one of those Reinhart children Nadine is asking for help. We asked him if he would be willing to agree to Nadine's request to submit to a DNA test. He gave us the following response. "I think if she is genuinely interested in her hereditary, the first step would be for her to obtain a DNA test. If she wants to forward that to me, I'm happy to take a look at it." The family has never acknowledged Stella, Hilda or Minette's claims to be members of the Hancock family.
"I understand all the legal work regarding Lang Hancock's estate was finalised through the legal system years ago. However, I have hope. Nadine originates from the French meaning hope. Nadine in German means the courage of a bear. Therefore, I conclude with hope. I hope everyone everywhere takes the time to read between the lines and understand my plea. If the results prove to be positive, that we, the descendants of Sulla Tucker Robinson, the firstborn child of the late Langley Hancock, according to our maternal grandmother, respectfully asks his daughter, Mrs. Gina Reinhart, to also respectfully consider, recognise and accept us as his descendants as well, without bias or prejudice, for us to move forward. If the DNA test results are compatible with either herself or her children and Sella's children, then I would like to work with Mrs. Reinhart on amicable terms to determine what is fair and just for all the relevant parties involved towards achieving a favourable, respectful outcome for the descendants of Sulla Tucker Robinson without animosity, malice or discrimination. We ask to not be regarded or known as charity cases. It is with sincere respect that we trust her to also respectfully acknowledge the facts of the above matters at hand.
In her statement, Nadine also speaks of Mulga Downs, the childhood home of not just Gina, but of her mother too.
Mulga Downs was often spoken fondly of. It's one of the English words and places my mother remembers and yearns for fondly. For when she was here, all of a sudden she was suddenly stolen from her homelands on that mournful day in October 1940. Her English was limited to a few words, but she knew of Mulga Downs.
Nadine is also calling for the return of Mulga Downs to its traditional owners, the Bunjuma. She says this was the wish of her mother before she died.
I too would like to see Mulga Downs Station given back to the Bundigura Bunjuma people. It is rightfully their country. It has always been their country since time began. It's been well documented and talked about. We are the oldest people still living, practicing and connected to our country. It's national and international history, our history, that for at least 60,000 years we were here and today we are still here. This is our country. It is in our song lines and stories. I can't emphasise enough, this is Bunjuma country we're talking about. Then just over 100 years plus, the country was suddenly stolen from our people, taken from them by the Western Australian government and leased out to land-grabbing pastoralists to fence off as much of the Bunjuma country as they could and lodge their claims for a 99-year lease to raise sheep.
The Bunjuma are the native title holders of the lands that Mulga Downs is on. But Nadine says that despite this, she and her extended family are restricted from being able to access it.
We, the Bunjuma people, still know our country, our permanent waterholes, bush foods, sacred sites, etc. This wealth of shared knowledge by our Bunjuma elders won us native title. We now have native title to our homelands, but we don't have the freedom to venture onto Mulga Downs Station without prior written permission from the stakeholders. Who has the keys to the locked gates, restricting all access? Why can't the Bundigura Bunjuma people have our country back? It was stolen, like hundreds of children that were stolen from their homelands. Our homelands have been raped, pillaged, destroyed and plundered enough. Leave Mulga Downs alone. Give it back to the rightful owners with no strings attached. No terms, condition, clauses and small print favouring the non-Aboriginal people. Give us a chance. Let us make our own mistakes. If it takes 200 plus years, so be it.
For Nadine, this is part of the truth-telling that Australia desperately needs.
As Australians, I reckon in order for us to continue any growth and move forward and connect on closing the gap, we all should have an obligation to revisit our past history and accept our past for what it is in order to focus on a reconciliation, because it is a shared history. It's Australia's history with two sides of the story, and then the facts, and finally the truth. Because more and more people from near and far are coming forward to share the facts of their life experiences in institutions, truth-telling and stories combined with documented facts about their grandparents, mothers, fathers and families. It's been a long time coming, and it's long overdue. What is needed now is the due diligence, justice and empathy of all Australians to realise and come together and work together as a nation, enabling the first Australians to also come together and stand as one again for the betterment and goodwill of everyone, especially for us, the Aboriginal people, to live together in a harmony with our people and our neighbours in our country and on our lands.
A Hancock Prospecting spokesperson provided the following comment.
Hancock Prospecting has a heritage agreement in place with the Bunjuma people covering the Moorga Downs area and complies fully with its obligations under that agreement. We value our long-term relationship with the Bunjuma people and remain committed to working collaboratively in addition to positively for the Bunjuma people and their future generations, and in accordance with all legal and cultural obligations. As is public knowledge, in Mrs. Reinhardt's time as chair, at the request of Horace Parker, then a Bunjuma elder, she gave a large section of Mulga Downs to Bunjuma, which for well over two decades has housed the Yungaleena community. And further, at the request of a non-Bunjuma community similarly claiming long ties in the Mulga Downs area, she gave a further section of Mulga Downs to that community. Most of the station houses mineral tenements of various mining companies, together with related infrastructure.
Indigenous Australians can call 13YARN for support. Gina will return on Monday, the 12th of May. It's recorded on Kaurna and Paramak land. It's hosted by me, Sarah Martin. The series producer is Joe Koning. The executive producer is Shelley Hepworth, and the head of audio is Miles Martignoni. Sound design in this episode was by Joe Koning.